Well, happy Monday to all of our listeners out there. And we do have a short week. Matt just reminded me. We have Thanksgiving this week and a lot going on still. Arizona's election. I wish we were not still talking about Arizona's election. But with each passing day, we learn more and more that not only in Maricopa County were there issues, but now we're hearing problems in Pima County, Mojave County, Navajo County, Apache County, Cochise County. So if this election that just got held wasn't in accordance with the law and didn't accomplish what it was supposed to do legally, there may be a question about the certification of that. I'm not saying that it is or that it isn't, but my hope is that by bringing people on that are working every day to determine that, as we have heard just in the news brief right leading into this, that the Attorney General's office received over 1,700 complaints just in Maricopa County. So I've invited someone on today, John Petrello, who sends me emails every day. And John, I just want to say thank you for joining me today. You have always given information that I use and have been using on the show, and I thought, let's go to the source. So welcome to Win Tucson this morning.
Well, thank you, Kathleen, and a good morning to you and your listeners. It's amazing that... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It's amazing that the news brief that was just given is one of the topics I wanted to discuss. So
I saw that. Do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, I'd like to go into some details about what they're referring to. Okay. A little more specifics, if that's okay.
It is. And John, before we go, though, just jump into all of this, and there's a lot to jump into and unpack today. Could you just tell my listeners who you are and your interest in this and why you're involved so that we can know who we're hearing from?
Sure. A City of Maricopa resident. I've relocated from Pennsylvania to Arizona in 2005, and I've been active in reviewing political information for a long time. I'm currently a PC in Pinell County who worked the last three elections, the 2020 election, the 2022 primary, and the 2022 general, first as a poll observer and the last two elections as a judge in one of our precincts here in Arizona.
Perfect.
And so I'm very interested in the results and whether or not there are issues that need to be corrected.
So,
which I believe there definitely are.
So, let's start. This isn't exactly where we were going to start, but let's start with where the news brief was today, which is the filing of complaints with the Arizona Attorney General's office and Jennifer Wright, who has issued a formal letter to Maricopa County Attorney Tom Liddy to address the violations. Go ahead and explain how many violations there are and what she's asking for.
Well, like they said, there are over 1,700 complaints. And a lot of these complaints are from people who were working the polls. So they were there at the voting centers and experienced firsthand the problems, as well as voters who had problems voting at those centers. So Maricopa County uses a voting center methodology, which is any citizen from Maricopa County can go to any voting center and cast their ballot. That in itself might be part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do a comparison to Pinell County, where I am. Now, Pinell County uses a precinct-based model. That model requires the resident to go to a predefined voting location, present their ID, which is confirmed through the voting system, and it's based on their residence location. Now in Pinell County, if we have a problem, we will send, or if a voter comes in and is at the wrong location, we will print out directions and instructions for that person to go to the correct location so they can cast a ballot that is valid and non-provisional, because there's a different status of ballots. Now, Maricopa County, being that they let anyone into the voting location, those citizens apply for a ballot, it goes into the system, and they're basically checked into the system. Now, the machines or the printers in Maricopa County were failing to print accurate ballots, and that's not that the information wasn't accurate. It's that the ballots couldn't be read because of, for example, a low toner situation, so the ballot couldn't be scanned appropriately. Those people were either given the opportunity to get another ballot, put their ballots in a ballot box, or supposedly checked out to go to another location where they could vote at another voting center.
Except if they didn't get checked out by the location that they were at, when they arrived at the next location, they were told that they already voted, correct?
That is correct. And the problem with that is none of the poll workers, according to what I've read, have been taught through the procedural manual on how to do anything like that. So they were just basically winging it. Go to this location and vote.
And I don't think that's an AR statute, right? Winging it, 16-, winging it. That's not a statute that we have in Arizona.
No. That process is part of the Arizona voting procedures. And now every county is required to follow the Secretary of State's documented procedures. And every county can administer the election as they see fit within their county. But all of those procedures have to be in line with the Secretary of State's procedures. Maricopa County has significant variances from both the procedural manual and the Arizona State regulations. Both federal and state laws require the administrator of the election to be consistent. Maricopa County had printer failures. Those failures started approximately 30 minutes into voting at an estimated 60 voting locations. So to keep that in mind, 60 voting locations around this county of Maricopa experienced problems at the same time.
Are these machines, I've got to ask this question, are these machines connected to each other from location to location to location?
I really don't know, but I will present one situation that I heard that could indicate that they were. I've read somewhere, and you know, it's hard to validate some of these things, that a technician went into one of the voting locations, inserted a stick into one of the machines, and after that, they failed. That would indicate that they were connected through a network and that 60-plus machines were either provided the wrong configuration, which is why the problem was experienced. And I can't think of any other situation that would why 60 locations would simultaneously or relatively within the same period of time fail, other than it was pre-programmed to do that, or the technician entered in configurations into a machine and it populated through the network, causing the failure.
So, John, now, John, we have to take a break right now. You're listening to John Petrello, who was a judge on Election Day in Pinal County, and he's someone who's been working with elections for the last 6 years. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. This is Kathleen Wynn on your Monday edition of Election 2022, the Groundhog Day of Arizona. So, John, the letter that Jennifer Wright sent requires Maricopa County to provide detailed answers about Election Day ballot on-demand printer configuration settings, very specific, Election Day checkout procedures, and ballots deposited into door 3 and statutorily required election board closeout duties. So the process was broken on Election Day in Maricopa County. And is it an apology from the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and the Election Division, the Recorder's Office in Maricopa County? Do you think that's going to be enough to legally certify this election based on the systematic failures across Maricopa County?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
That is should be a given. Now, my personal opinion is that this fiasco is the cause of direct leadership of Katie Hobbs, our Secretary of State, and the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. In Pinal County, we had problems with our 2022 primary election.
Yes, you did.
People got fired and replaced. Our election and general election ran fantastic.
It did, and I gave Pinal County a hard time between the primary and the general. And the day of the election, I actually called and acknowledged them because there were no issues in Pinal County. So they corrected the defects expertly, and Dana I think it's Virginia, did an exceptional job in delivering Pinal County's election. So I want to just underline that because their primary was a dismal failure.
Yes, it was. But the general was great. And, you know, just a couple more things I'd like to point out about the difference between the counties.
Please.
Maricopa County uses printers to print a ballot on demand for a voter. Pinal County pre-prints all their ballots based on the city and town where the voter have to occur, and all the individual candidates are placed on those pre-printed ballots. Additional ballots are provided to the election poll workers, enough to cover any spoiled ballots or surrendered ballots. And we had those both those situations in my precinct. And I did a little analysis, which I'm hoping is consistent across the state, and I want to give this to your readers. I was three-quarters of the way through the day, and being that I was a judge, I had all the tickets associated with everyone who voted. 56% of those tickets were Republican, 29% were independent or no party affiliation, and only 15% were Democrat. I'll assume that all Republicans voted for Republicans and all Democrats voted for Democrats, and then let's split the rest down the middle. If that's consistent across Maricopa County and the rest of the county, there's no way in the world that Katie Hobbs won that election.
Okay. And we don't know. At this point, whatever the results are, and I think that's the point that people are angry about or frustrated about, is that if you have such a flawed system, if this was a systematic failure, and there's a question of how both votes were counted, where votes went, it seems like there's a dramatic undervote for the top of the ticket Republican candidates in the state. So that's, if I'm doing my own analysis, we have Kimberly Yee with the Kimberly Yee treasurer factor, right? Kimberly Yee got so many votes. And did some Democrats vote for her? Sure. But at the end of the day, you have, you flip two congressional seats. So you have people that voted for Congress, voted for Kimberly Yee, and somehow missed voting for the Republicans up ticket. It could have happened, but it just doesn't seem like it passes the smell test. And statistically, there's so many statistical anomalies with this election. Would a hand count remedy some of this? Or were ballots spirited away in black canvas bags? Or where did box 3 ballots go? I think those are the pressing questions that people have, with over 200 text messages and emails I've received in the last week. And as we delve into this, it seems like there's more and more stories of voter suppression. So would you like to address that with my listeners?
Yes, I would. Number one, when these printers failed and people were sent to other voting locations, that's one situation. The other situation is some people waited online for 3 hours to cast their vote. So my question is, how many voters could not spare that extra time because of work, children at home, or whatever, and had to leave? Another issue is the way Maricopa County verifies signatures.
Hmm.
that Maricopa County verified signatures on their early voting ballots using artificial intelligence. Neither the federal government nor the IRS currently use artificial intelligence. Pinell County, on the other hand, has trained people who with very stringent standards to verify signatures on ballots, on envelopes. Now, Dana will actually be there, and will, if there's any questions, will actually look at that ballot and help determine it. I mean, they compare every signature that was sent into the county in order to verify that ballot is legitimate.
And Dana is the Pinell County recorder, correct?
Yes, yes, Dana, okay. And she knows what she's doing.
So let's go back though to Maricopa County and the verification of signatures. So what you're saying is the process in which Maricopa County uses to verify signatures is not used by any other county or any other government entity?
That's my understanding of it. And I'll just add another little note in here. I'm not a technical guru, and I don't know how the artificial intelligence works. But let's assume there's a threshold set by the county to determine what threshold the artificial intelligence has to meet to confirm the ballot is valid. I don't know what that is. Is it high, low, 50%, 100%? That could be another issue.
So, John, by any chance, are you on speakerphone?
Yes.
Okay, can I get you to not do that because it's picking up background sound? Okay.
I hit my desk, sorry.
No, it's okay. If you could stay off speaker. So one of the things that we're just getting news that the Attorney General's race is headed to an automatic recount. So when they're doing that, is there a way to check several other races when they're doing the recount for the Attorney General's race?
It's a ballot. If they wanted to, I would imagine they could look at every individual vote for every candidate and every proposition on that ballot. It's just a matter of time, correct?
Well, apparently we're still taking the time to do whatever we're doing now. So if time's an issue, it hasn't been an issue to this point. And I don't mean to be sarcastic, but maybe I do. So let's go back to what happened on election day, which do you have the statistics like you did for Pinell County of voter turnout in Maricopa County?
Unfortunately not. I don't.
I think it was similar,
sorry.
Though. I know it's okay. It's not. I didn't ask you to. But I believe that it was similar, that on election day we had more Republicans and independents showing up than Democrats.
And so, I believe that's usually the case.
Well, I think it was the case on election day in Maricopa County. So, if I'm somebody who experienced an election anomaly, let's just call it an election breakdown. I don't know what we even call it. I've been told this is now Maric Corruption County. So, if I experience something there, what should I do? Where do I go to tell my story so that it gets recorded, so that it's legal? There's a form going around. What should we do as voters if we experienced voting day problems?
First off, I would go to the Attorney General's website.
Consumer?
They have an election website where you can file a complaint about the election. You can document what was going on. And I recommend strongly doing that for everyone who experienced a problem. Then, of course, I would also go to Save Arizona Now. One word, saveaznow.com. And you could also put a sworn complaint there with attachments and explanations of what you experienced. Now, I'd like to say,
hey, John, we're going to have to take another break. When we come back, save that, and we'll share it with our listeners. You're listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson, Arizona election 2022. Still not over. Welcome back to this Monday edition of Wynn Tucson. We're talking to John Petrillo, who was a judge in Pinal County during the last election on November 8th. It seems like a long time ago, but yet here we still are. John, I've been talking about no drop boxes, restricting early balloting. What are some of the solutions? Because we're solution driven on this show. What do we do to solve this problem? And I think this election is still, unfortunately, up in the air. There are a lot of people, a lot of lawyers looking right now. Is there a legal remedy to just what happened? But let's take a step back from that. Let's go to the next election, wherever that election is going to be in Arizona. What do we need to do?
Well, I've outlined some things that I think are very important. First of all, I'd like to state that anyone in the United States can get an officially issued government identification. So that is, off the table as an objection to for voting. There's an example of tamper-proof ballots that Mark Fincham proposed that I've looked at that very, very unique. It's foolproof. It uses the same technology from the company that creates our financial documents, like for example, our money. It's the company that prints our money. There's no way to fool this. It can't be copied. It's extremely well done.
And doesn't require toner ink on election day?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No.
Just clarifying these things. Go ahead. Keep going.
And also, and one of the other things with that ballot would be that it provides a QR code which you can scan when you get your ballot. You can go to a website and actually put that QR code in there and look at your ballot to make sure it was your ballot and how it was counted and shown. You cannot view anyone else's, only yours, which is something that we have because voter anonymity is, something that Americans cherish. We don't want to know how others voted. Well, maybe we do, but no one else wants you to know.
Right.
And that's important. Now, also, I would say that we need a state holiday. We need to have one day elections and one day only. Make it, according to the Constitution, it's the second Tuesday in November. Make that a no exceptions date with mandatory results reporting the following day, which is Wednesday. Mail-in ballots, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, even if we didn't make it a state holiday, I think there's statutes in our law currently that an employer has to let someone go vote. And in this case, if you let an employee go vote at 8 in the morning, they may not have been done till noon. I mean, so I think getting a holiday passed, it took us a while to get Martin Luther King Day passed. I think getting a holiday pass may be difficult, but making sure that no matter what, that the right to vote, if the polling system is broken and people go to vote and it's documented that it's taking 2, 3, 4, 5 hours or they never get to vote, you should get that time off from your employer. I think I like the idea of a holiday. My concern is that people would take the day off and not go vote and just take the day off. Just a concern I have. But but we have to make sure that people have access to voting polling places. Maricopa County was a precinct-driven place for a very long time. I was a poll worker and watcher and judge for almost 20 years in Maricopa County. And when Helen Purcell was the recorder, prior to Adrian Fontes, and prior to the time that they had long lines, which caused her and Michelle Reagan to be voted out of office, we were in a precinct system. And this move to voting centers and drop boxes and early ballots has been the demise of a fair and free election. And I don't think anyone would object to going back to precinct voting, except those that want to continue to create this kind of chaos and confusion in our elections. So I just, you know, my two cents, but it's my show, so I get to do that every once in a while. One of the things you said, the one-day voting, I think we should have a voting day, not a voting month. I completely agree with you on that. And I like the idea that the results have to be done by the next day. We haven't been able to do that in Arizona for quite some time. I think that's really problematic. And you had some conditions on mail-in ballots. Could you share that with my listeners?
Sure. Well, one of the reasons we haven't been able to produce results is the fact that we have such an extended period of mail-in ballots. I would eliminate mail-in ballots except for under certain circumstances. I would require proof of citizenship and identity. And those circumstances are just a short list would be military personnel, citizens living outside the country, handicap or illness, you know, documented business trips, and whatever else they could come up with that would meet, you know, stringent criteria. That's how it used to be when I lived in New York back. I had to apply in advance for an absentee ballot. Now, I would eliminate early voting, period. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And a good example of why you would eliminate early voting is Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is just a good reason to eliminate a lot of things, but keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, their newly Senate-elect had a disastrous debate, but how many people had voted for him prior to his debate? Another thing is in Pennsylvania, which is I find hilarious, they voted a dead guy into office. He died on October 9th, and he still got elected. Nobody knew.
Well, I don't know that nobody knew, but you have, I know for sure in Pennsylvania you have corruption. And so you had, you know, I think the last election, that was where they saw that they brought in 400,000 ballots from New Jersey. But what the heck? It's Pennsylvania. So, and we were happy to let them be the good, bad example, but now we are the bad, bad example. And I think it's frustrating from somebody who ran, somebody who's worked with people that ran and supported candidates. And this isn't a Republican-Democrat thing. We have to be very clear that this affects both parties, all parties, actually, and that by extending the voting cycle, we're not true to what the Constitution says. We're not. It's a voting day. It's not supposed to be a voting cycle. And so much money is put into negative attack ads and everything else. So I think waiting till election day, you have all the information and you can't necessarily maybe vote for a Fetterman, if you will. But now they're touting him to possibly be the vice president. So obviously intellectual capabilities and intelligence is not a qualification. I think that we, in terms of the voter drop boxes, that's going to be a legislative thing, but I believe that we need to eliminate those. They cause great concern on both sides of the aisle, people protecting them and watching them, and people wanting to drop off their ballots in them, feeling threatened by those people. I think if we eliminate them, we eliminate that problem altogether. And Florida, what is Florida doing that we're not doing?
I honestly don't know, but whatever they're doing, we probably should be doing.
Yeah, I think it would not hurt us to get some election officials on a plane to Florida after this gets resolved, however this is going to get resolved, and find out what they're doing, because they had the hanging chads back in the day, and they fixed their process, and they are one of the first states, and they have, I think, double, possibly triple the number of voters that we have here in Arizona. And they managed to give a result on the night of the election, not even Wednesday, the next day, but on the night of the election. So whatever it is that we're doing, our process, I believe, is clearly broken. And it's the legislature that fixes it. And my concern is if for some reason this election is set aside or just in Maricopa County, we're going to have, this is not going to end anytime soon. And it looks bad for Arizona. It looks bad for those that want to protect the right of voting. And I think that we're in a bad place right now. And, if Katie Hobbs is the legitimate winner, then she's our governor. If that's what happened, okay. But I think there has to be a step in between that election and declaring that to ensure the voters that box three, that garbage bags with zip ties, that those ballots got counted, and that there wasn't duplicative voting, and that people that were eligible to vote voted. Down here in Pima County, we've heard that a lot of out-of-state students whose parents still claim them on their tax returns in other states voted here. Those people shouldn't be allowed to vote. So, John, we're going to take a break. Do you want to hang with me just this last segment and we'll finish up?
Sure.
Okay. I'm talking to John Petrillo, election judge from Pinal County. We're talking about just a few issues that surfaced statewide in Arizona during the November 8th general election. I'm Kathleen Wynn. We'll be back right after. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. I was just kind of hoping that the Wildcats had a box three. Maybe we could have gotten them some more points on the weekend. And God bless the football cats. And you know what? You can redeem yourselves this Friday if you beat ASU. And I would, number one, like to do an early ballot on that. I'd like to vote on election day. I'd like to get some other people. I don't even care if you're citizens. I want everyone to turn out for the Wildcats on Friday. Okay. Thanks.
Well,
that
played.
Just makes me feel, that just makes me feel better, John. I had to do that. All right. So, and I hope you're not an ASU fan. So if I did just insult you, forgive me.
No.
We can use felt tip markers the whole bit.
Okay. Yeah. We need Sharpies. I think I'll draw a big Wildcat paw on my face. All right. So, and it is basketball season. So, you know, that's our saving grace down here. We pivot literally to basketball. So, you know, people say, oh, those Republicans, they don't get what they want. You know, people hate Trump. And somehow this devolved into a rhino or moderate side of the party versus the Trump people in the party. Now, that may be an issue, but shouldn't we, no matter whether we're a Democrat, an independent, a moderate, you know, somewhere in between moderate and extreme right, shouldn't we expect that the Secretary of State and each individual county's elections departments deliver a fair and free election? Is that not in statute?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, the Attorney General's letter, which I've read, and if I'm accurate, cites 11 different statutes that the county potentially violated.
Only
not one, not two, 11.
Only 11, huh? Okay.
11.
So can you tell my listeners some of those that, you know, so that they're aware of what those statutes, because they may have been violated and didn't know that that was a violation of the Arizona law.
I'd have to go through the letter, but for example, ARS 16-1021, they want to address the following concerns about the 60 voting locations having problems with the on-demand printers. After that, they cite another three or four different ones, and it addresses the administration of the election having different equipment within the county and no uniformity because that's mandatory, and apparently that wasn't met.
So when you say uniformity, what wasn't uniform at all the different polling procedures, the consistency of the machines? What there was a lot of things that probably weren't uniform. How to deal with people that were showing up?
One is the consistency of the machines.
Okay.
You know, the configurations. From what I've read, and I mean, it's hard to decipher some of this information, right? I believe they're indicating that there might have been different kinds of machines in different locations, that so there wasn't some consistency there. That's an assumption based on how I read the letter. Also, the fact that they had no documented procedures to follow regarding, well, they had a documented procedure, like sending people to different voting locations, but those procedures weren't followed. Now, since there was no training involved for those procedures, you can assume that every voting location did it differently.
So what I did hear is that in Mesa, and I've shared this on the air, but I'll share it with you, the machines weren't working, and people showed up to vote at Central Christian Church on Lindsay in Mesa, and were told they gave them their ballot, and they told them to take them home and to bring them back, and hopefully the machines would be working when they came back.
Well, that's a violation, because you're not allowed to leave the ballot location with a ballot.
Yes, exactly. So I don't, and that's a big, Central Christian is a big location and a big church. And so thousands of people go to vote there. And that was the procedure that they use there. So I would think that, and I have the person that told me that is someone who was running for office actually, and it's been documented. I think it's been turned over to the Attorney General's office. But what that tells me is in Mesa, that adversely affected all the races in Mesa. So let's say they prove that this election was not done in accordance with the law. What do we do?
Well, my opinion is we hold a new election. I'm sorry, you know what? We don't certify our election and we hold a new election. Now, another question that I have about that is, I'm not sure how that affects federal candidates, because from what I understand, the statutes in Arizona only are for Arizona elections.
Well, these are so there's federal elections. There's actually federal only ballots where all you do is vote in the federal elections. I didn't hear much about federal only ballots this election. Last election, we had about 100,000 federal only ballots. But we conduct so on our ballots were our federal elections and our state elections. So I don't know if you set aside the federal elections and not do that to your point, and we just redo the state elections, but that could cause all of that to go, that might be an issue. And I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV or the radio. So I don't have the legal answer. We'll have to get that. But I do believe that if you redo the ballot, I think you have to do the whole thing. I don't know that you can separate them. And that's going to be another problem.
Yes, it is. Do we do a whole state or we just do this county?
Well,
I mean, you've mentioned other counties that have had problems. How severe, and is the Attorney General looking at those counties also?
In that, we don't know. I think I think Maricopa County's, no pun intended, the big elephant in the room. But I think that that's got to be addressed first, because that is the major voting block in the state of Arizona. And so if there are other issues, do they rise to the level of a new election? Because you can't certify this election. If this election cannot be certified due to the failures and systematic breakdowns that have happened, then then there will have to be a new election. And I think there's going to be a lot of effort put in not having a new election. I just believe that there'll be a lot of pushback for that, but it's going to have to follow a legal, not an emotional channel. And that's where I know over 30 lawyers working on this right now, and I'm sure we're going to get all kinds of legal opinions. But with 11 things listed in a letter to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office that states these were where we want information on these statutes, that's specific to the law. And so we can hope that if the law in some way was violated or not upheld or not followed, that gives an opening to those that want to redo this election and make it fair and free for everybody to show up. And I think it's going to have to be a one-day voting in person kind of election, to your point, because I don't know how you start doing early ballots for that, because it's going to have to be done quickly and done without the very things that caused this election not to go, the printers, everything that went down. And I think it's, and I'm over the embarrassment. Yes, it was embarrassing. But now it just, we have to go the extra yard, I believe, and ensure, and maybe not throw an interception, that the, sorry, the Wildcats threw four interceptions. We just have to continue to go forward and look at how do we conduct an election where people know that it's been done honestly, with integrity, truthfully, and that we are allowing every person that wants to vote, that we're not trying to disenfranchise them. Many people were in line at 6:20, 6:30, and they were told that they weren't going to get to them by 7, and they had to leave. So we had people in line, and the way that the statute reads is you get to stay. If you're in line before 7, you could get there at 6:58, you get to vote, but people were encouraged to get out of line the day of the election. That's not legal. And we have...
No, it's not.
We have hundreds of those people. So everything was done to dissuade people from voting on election day. But that is the job. They have one job. That's the job of the Elections Division, and they didn't do their job. And I think everyone can agree with that. Now, does it demand a recount or a redo? You know, those are different stages. Maybe we do a recount and maybe that solves the problem. But if not, I do believe that we are headed for possibly another election. And those that are fighting for that are going to take a lot of hits because it smells and looks a lot like 2020 that never got resolved. And although we have people indicted and people that have jail time, it never got any attention. And I think it's hard with this many systematic failures and this many people involved to deny that this election was not done fairly.
I agree. And I have one closing statement that I'd like to present to your listeners.
Sure, please, John. Got to make it quick.
look internally into yourself and ask yourself, are you willing to accept the incompetence and malfeasance, possible willful misconduct and gross negligence that was part of this election? If you aren't, contact the Attorney General, contact the governor, contact your state representatives and tell them it has to be corrected. Don't accept we can't do anything.
Thank you, John. Thanks for being with us. This is Kathleen Wynn. You've been listening to Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll see you tomorrow.